Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Bread of Life, Faith and Works Community Church Lecture Series, hosted by Pastor David Allen. God bless you all. What a beautiful spring day after some spring rains. Looking forward to seeing the beauty of the flowers. Although my body may not like the pollen, but one thing I enjoy is the beauty of spring. You can't take me away from being in the outdoors, even in the time when my body don't like it in the spring so much. Well, we have a lot to cover today, so let's begin with a word of prayer and get into our study today, continuing in the book of Mishle, the book of Proverbs. Heavenly Father, again, we rejoice and we bless you and we thank you, Lord God, that we can gather together, study your word, and learn the ways of the wisdom and knowledge of you, Lord God, in which we can apply into our lives to walk holy as you are holy and to fear you, Lord God. Therefore, we ask you, Lord God, to forgive each one of us of our sins. Wash us and cleanse us through the precious blood of Jesus. Restore us to you and move with your spirit upon our lives. In Jesus' name, we furthermore declare by the name of Jesus and the authority that is given to us, we bind every demonic spirit, we bind every evil work, and every part of the kingdom of darkness that wants to come against us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now we ask you, Heavenly Father, to move with your spirit and guide us into the fullness of the ways of the kingdom and the book of Mishle to the glory of you, Lord God. Yes, to the glory of you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. We are in chapter 12 in the book of Mishle. We are continuing to move forward in the book of Mishle. Chapter 12, verse 16, reads from the English translation, "A fool's anger will become known on that very day, but a clever man conceals disgrace." A fool's anger. Anger is a very interesting emotion that can be righteous or it can be sinful. Here we can see that this is not righteous anger. Righteous anger is being angry about sin, injustices. Jesus had righteous anger. He was angry because they made the house of God a den of thieves, and he overturned the money changers' tables and made a very big ruckus and had a whip and was whipping them and chasing them out of the temple. Righteous anger. Here we have a fool's anger will become known on that very day. 10 is generally this type of fool. They become angry over the most idiotic things, make a big deal out of it, blow up, and just say a lot of things and do a lot of things that ought not to have been done. Now, as a saint of God, if we act like the fool in anger, Spirit of God will be all over you, convicting you, unless you've done it so many times that you've grieved the Spirit of God. The wrong kind of anger should be taken out of our lives. We need to crucify it and put it to death. But a clever man conceals this. This is a very interesting part of this verse. A clever man will hide concealed disgrace. Sometimes you're disgraced by your very own actions. You're disgraced by the things that you do or say. Your anger could cause you to be a disgrace, not only before yourself, but before your very closest family and friends. Clever man learns to conceal that disgrace. Sometimes it is necessary to conceal the disgrace in order to advance the kingdom of God. But let's see what the rabbis say about this. Rabbi Rashi and Rabbi Melbourne together say, on the very day he or she becomes angry, the fool makes his or her anger known by quarreling with his or her friend and berating him or her in public. He or she does not restrain his or her anger. He or she becomes instantly enraged and vindictive. I will use a great example off of a Facebook video. The woman was so scorned by her boyfriend, and this has also happened with a husband and wife. I've seen it both ways on Facebook. And needless to say, I did not see it happen in this country, at least what I saw on Facebook. It was one down in South America and one was in Africa. Well, the woman took a sledgehammer, another woman took a hammer and just literally beat the boyfriend, the husband's vehicle, and just absolutely disaster, made a mess of it, just destroyed the vehicle in front of everyone in the neighborhood. Here, we can see that there is no restraint in the anger. There's an enragement, total vindictiveness. And this is the kind of example that I'm showing you here, is that type of anger and rage that becomes so vindictive, it is actually extremely destructive. And it is a fool who follows in this anger. Now, there are men that have done things as well. Look again, a man took his woman's clothes and cut them to shreds. All these beautiful clothes, not one piece of clothing was under, say, about $300 or $400 or $500. This woman had very fancy, beautiful clothes, and the guy just took and shredded them with the scissors and knives. And yeah, anger that's enraged and vindictive, making a total fool. Now, the bad thing is this guy took and dumped all the clothing out the window on the front lawn and in front of all the neighbors, just tore it into it with shredded it with knives and scissors. And oh, man, But again, this is the type of anger that there's no restraint. It is enraged anger and vindictive. Now, we've had some of that here in the U.S. more than once. And the end result, sometimes, where the woman or the man shoots their boyfriend or girlfriend or their wife or their husband, generally from a vindictive, enraged anger from infidelity or supposed infidelity. Let's look at our second quote for this verse. And this comes from Rabbi Rashi on the second part of the verse. A shrewd person conceals his or her shame and does not rush to fight with others. According to the Midrash, this verse alludes to Adam on the very first day of his creation. His misdeeds became known, for he sinned by eating the tree of knowledge, but in his wisdom, the Holy One, blessed is he, did not want to destroy his creations, therefore sealed Adam's shame and deferred his decree of death from Adam's day to his day, which is 1,000 years. Now, we know that by genealogy, Adam lived to be 900-some years old. We also know that deferred shame was that God killed an animal, the shedding of blood, to cover the sin, and then clothed Adam and Eve with the animal skins to cover their shame of their nakedness, because now they knew good and evil. A clever or shrewd person, as Rabbi Rashi says, will conceal their shame and they will not rush to fight with others. So we find here that in one respect, that if a person is operating in the right way in the moving of the Spirit, though they may have disgraced or shamed themselves, if they follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit, they can conceal that disgrace or the shame. Let's move on to verse 17. One who always spouts the truth will give righteous testimony, but a witness saying falsehoods personifies deceit. Let's break this down a little. One who always spouts the truth will give righteous testimony. Anyone who is well known for readily speaking the truth in any situation or circumstance will be a great witness, for their testimony will be within the area of righteousness because they have chosen a lifestyle that is lacking in deception and lying. These are the kind of witnesses that you desire to have with contracts, actually any type of business dealing. Sometimes we have to utilize these types of witnesses in various circumstances and situations to keep us from some form of harm physically, but some type of form of harm that could harm you mentally, emotionally, harm your testimony, your character. On the second part, though, it says a witness saying falsehood personifies deceit. There are many, many, many people out there who would rather speak falsehoods and deceive than speak the truth. One aspect that is most prevalent, excuse me, is the very essence in most people's job situation. They will have their husband or their wife or their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their brother or sister or someone to lie for them on the phone. I have laryngitis. I can't talk. I'm ill, so that they can have a play day and maybe go to the ball game, do whatever, but it's a play day to be off of work. The lies and the deceit. Let me give you a great example from my BC days. The year was 1977, June. Old Milwaukee Brewer Stadium, the old baseball stadium, one of the famous psychedelic rock bands, Pink Floyd, was live in concert on a sellout 65,000 people, and I was working in an aluminum foundry where they make aluminum parts for mostly cars, but a few other aspects, but for mostly cars. Time, I work second shift. I called in sick. 99% of the shift called in sick. Now, the bosses knew what was going on. Everybody had tickets. Everybody was going to the concert within their various groups. There was only out of 80 workers, five workers that only showed up, three to five workers. We heard about it all the next day. The bosses decided not to do anything or say anything and just let it go, because what are you going to do, fire the entire shift? They could not, because the contracts, they had to make up for a day's loss of work. They made us work some overtime to make up for it. Nobody complained about it either. But again, we have a falsehood that personifies deceit. Let's look at our first quote. And our first quote comes from a combination from Rabbi Ralbag and Rabbi Yonah, as well as Rabbi Rashi. One who speaks in good faith will testify righteously in court in order to justify the innocent party. If he or she is accustomed to being truthful in all that he or she says, he or she certainly will testify truthfully in court. His or her testimony is reliable. Now, that is a very good quote reliability, trustworthiness, faithfulness, honesty, honor can all be enveloped into this type of person. Yet on the other hand, for the second part of the verse, Rabbi Vilna Gaon says that the witness is in the singular form, but the word falsehoods is plural. Therefore, it is someone who is out to deceive others and will include many falsehood in their testimony, for he or she will say one thing to one person and a different thing to the other person, since he or she wants to ingratiate himself or herself to everyone. In other words, this person is a person who is so deceptive in falsehoods, they truly do know what each person needs to hear, and they're going to speak that falsehood, whether it's one thing to one person or one thing to another person, to cover up the lies. Lies beget lies, beget lies, beget lies. And it always is to cover up more and more and more to build this full personification of deceit. Lies cannot be done away with so easily, and the truth stands firmer than a lie. It stands alone. A person who lies will eventually be caught in their lies and caught continually and declared as a liar. Verse 18. There is one who speaks harshly, like piercings of a sword, but the tongue of wise men heals. The one who speaks harshly, like piercings of a sword. Many of us have come across different men and different women whose words have pierced our heart like a sword, totally destroyed our heart. We know that by what Jesus said, we must walk in love and forgiveness toward that person. We must forgive that person. Everything about the kingdom is about walking in love and forgiveness. But let it not be found among any of us saints that our words are so harshly that it is piercing as a sword, destroying another person. May our words be seasoned with the grace and love of God and the mercies of God, rather than speaking harshly and piercing to one's friend, relative, co-worker, words that would destroy them as a sword would. But on the final part it says, but the tongue of wise men heals. Wise men and wise women know how to speak words that will bring healing into another person's heart. It is very interesting that a person can speak those kind of words. A mother whose child was hurt in an accident will speak wise words that heals A foolish mother or a foolish father will speak the opposite into the child. Let's see what our rabbis say. Rabbi Rashi says that a person's speech can stir up arguments among people and cause them to kill. Isn't that an interesting statement? There is many arguments that have brought the death of another person. A brother against a brother. The sister. A son or daughter against their mother or their father. Harsh words. Words that are an enabler within the area of arguments, committing murder. Some don't take it that far, but still, if they think it within their mind and in their heart, it is, Jesus said, it is as if they actually committed the murder, even though they physically may not have committed a murder, but they have murdered them in their heart. Our next quote comes from Rabbi Metzudos. Rabbi Metzudos says, someone who slanders or defames another can cause as much harm as if he or she had actually stabbed someone with a sword. The words of the wise, however, can heal, for their sweet words can convince a person to repent from the evil that he or she spoke. And this repentance is his or her cure. Sometimes the things that we speak, sometimes what we do, we need the wise words of another that will actually bring about, through the moving of the Spirit, conviction and then bringing repentance. Now, Rabbi Jonas says wise people will nullify the damage brought about through slander by rebuking and denouncing those who speak evil and making known the punishment of those who accept and believe slander. We should not accept and believe slander. If you are in the midst of a conversation where someone is slandering another person, you need to remove yourself from that conversation at all costs. Walk away. Leave is the best recourse. But one must turn their heart away from those who would slander another. Utter assassination is probably the most number one murder in the earth today. Character assassination murders someone's character, but does not murder them physically. Sometimes that type of character assassination will drive that person to suicide, for they see no other way out from someone else's character assassination against them. In reality, they did commit murder because the person committed suicide as a result of character assassination. So we must be careful in the words that we speak, we must be seasoned with salt. And if someone has wronged us and we are angry, go before the Lord. Take care of it before the Lord. Get your whole self all calmed down. Get yourself into that place that you can walk in love and forgiveness. Then approach that person through the Spirit of God who has wronged you, and do it in the right way without anger or malice or one who would speak harsh words to pierce and kill that person, but rather with words that are seasoned with the Spirit of God. It will set you apart from the other person. Once you place the ball in the other person's hand, that person can either reject it or accept it. If they reject it, now God will bring a work of conviction against that person unless they harden their heart against God. But generally, they will come back to you and they will repent and ask you for forgiveness. If you do it all in the right way, rather than incurring the other person's wrath, creating a war between the two of you, you've just extinguished the fire and brought reconciliation rather than the opposite. Verse 19. True speech will be established forever, but a false tongue is only for a moment. True speech will be established forever. This is the kind of speech that is trustworthy, that speaks the truth. This is the kind that will manifest in elevating someone else rather than yourself. This is the kind that will be able to remain forever. Words that will be remembered forever and ever. A good friend of mine, I just found out, in the last couple of days here, had passed away. He was a great pastor in the church in Northern California where I got saved at. He's only 10 years older than me. And he passed away on the 1st of this month. There were times that his words seemed harsh, but they weren't harsh. Perfectionist. At that time, I was working in the soundboard ministry. He was the worship leader. But by his words, and encouraging me, and training me, and teaching me to be able to hear correctly, because they call me stage deaf. Another word would be tone deaf. I sing a half an octave off because I hear right. But he taught me a way of being able to hear correct tones and be able to adjust the soundboard. He taught me very many things which I treasure to this day, because his words were true speech. They are established forever. There are the things that through that he spoke into my life that made me a better man of God through time. I can say the very same thing of my Christian mentor who taught me more than any other person who's still a pastor in Northern California. We need to speak true speech into other people's lives that will be established forever. But a false tongue is only for a moment. A false tongue. Lies pierces the soul. Lies only deceive. False tongues last only a moment. The truth will always be found out, and the lying tongue's words will be lost. And the reputation of the person with the false tongue becomes more damaged as time goes on. Our first quote on this paragraph comes from a combination of Rabbi Rashi and Rabbi Yonah. Truth will endure if a person is careful to speak truthfully. His or her words will be accepted and believed, and others will be eager to hear his or her words. Very profound statement. Others will be eager to hear your words. Reminds me of the commercial from back in the 1980s about one of the broker firms on Times Square, where all of the brokerages are, and Wall Street and everything over there. The commercial was of a particular broker. When that person speaks, everyone is eager to listen, to hear, because that person was one who would speak the truth. And if you listen carefully, you could make some money very quickly and very vast amounts of money. For he knew how to work the stock market more than anyone else. A genius in the stock market. So if you are careful with your words, others will be eager to hear them. If you're truthful with your words. Now, Rabbi Mitzudos covers a bit on the second part of the verse. And he says, along with Rabbi Rashi, falsehood perishes in a short moment, for it has no feet upon which to stand. The duration of a falsehood is momentary. It lasts only for the time it is said. Afterwards, the truth comes out. Lies will always be found out. Truth will always prevail. Our final quote on this verse comes from Rabbi Vilna Gaon. The Hebrew word that is representation of speech and tongue literally means a lip of. He calls it to symbolize casual, superficial speech, such as conversation that has little or no significance. A tongue, which is inside the body, implies serious, meaningful speech. And speaking of truthful people our verse says the lip of, because even the unimportant words of such a person will be established and endure forever. However, even the most serious words of a liar last only a short time, for his or her falsehoods are soon revealed. Again, we have the idea of truth prevails and lasts forever. Lies last a short time, they're always found out, and eventually cause a lot of trouble. It is vitally important as a saint of God that we speak the truth and hold our tongue from lying. And this is an important area of crucifying the evil inclinations, the flesh. For lies will cause disgrace far greater than anything that I know of. Let's go into verse 20 while we still have time. Deceit lurks in the heart of those who plot evil, but those who counsel peace, there is gladness. Deceit lurks in the heart of those who plot evil. Everyone that I know that has been plotting evil has a deceitful tongue. Even with those who are following them, sided with them, partnered with them, they are in the midst of their plotting evil, even in their heart, is deceitful to those that are working the very evil thing that they're doing. As the old saying goes, there's no honor among thieves. Why? Because they're all deceitful toward one another. There is nothing good with those who plot evil. Their deceitfulness is reproachful beyond our wildest imaginations. And the second part, but for those who counsel peace, there is gladness. Isaiah says, beautiful are the feet of those who go into the earth to teach the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Beautiful are the feet of those who go out into the earth to train in others the way of salvation. Peace, the shalom of the Lord God, encompasses the word salvation beyond all that you could imagine. Salvation, your soul is not going to hell. You are not going to hell. Salvation, in the midst of this context, healing, divine health, financial prosperity, whatever blessing that you could imagine, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, materially, every facet and aspect of who you are. When you speak of the shalom of God, the peace, the salvation of God, it encompasses everything. It has the context and the meaning, nothing missing, nothing broken in one's life. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That means you are not walking in any type of illness, diseases, debilitating diseases that cripple you. There is nothing that the shalom peace of God is not moving in. So one who counsel is this type of peace, there is gladness, there's joy, there's overflowing abundance of the joy of the Lord. We have three quotes to wrap up for this day in this verse. Rabbi Yonah warns that if someone advises you to take revenge upon your friend, claiming that he or she wants to protect your honor, do not believe him or her. There is deceit in the heart of those who plot evil. Their bad advice does not stem from love, but from hatred. If they really meant your good, they would never advise you to harm someone else and increase his or her hatred, since a person never knows when he or she enemy will be in a powerful position and be able to retaliate. Profound words right there. And don't follow the way of those who lurk plotting evil and their deceitfulness, lest the one that you're plotting against retaliates against you. It is rather better to de-escalate than escalate the situation. Rabbi Metzudos says, those who plot evil and harbor deceitful thoughts in their heart are constantly worried and anxious lest their plots be discovered. However, those who counsel peace do not worry. On the contrary, they even rejoice if their thoughts become known. One who plots to do evil, in everything they will worry and worry and worry. Ah, but the one who counsels in peace, the shalom of God, has no fear, has no worry, for they know that God will take care of them, and when their thoughts are made known, they can be rejoicing, because in that rejoicing, they know that others are being blessed beyond measure. Now let's go from Rabbi Metzudos to Rabbi Melbourne for our last quote of the day. Rabbi Melbourne points out that evil and peace are opposites. Evil includes anything which destroys the world, while peace encompasses anything that preserves the world. This refers to any good, whether personal, communal, or political. Quote unquote. So it is important to understand that we must walk in the realm of counsel, in the shalom of the Lord God, the peace of the Lord God, for it shall bring from the Spirit of God through you gladness into others, rather than to lurk with evil and plotting evil and having deceit within you to destroy someone else. And one of the greatest things that we find is if we choose to counsel in peace rather than destroy, we find that there are greater rewards that we possibly could never obtain all of them in this life for being a blessing to another soul. And that is where we will close today. If you have any questions, please go to my Facebook page, Pastor rather David C. Allman, and then underneath my name, see Pastor David C. Allman, SR for Senior. When you post your questions on my Facebook page, please tag me so that I will see your questions, and I will readily answer them to the best of the moving of the Spirit of God within me. Now remember, saints, to go to church this Sunday, we know that each one of us individually, corporately make up the church. The building is just a building, but that is where we gather together to worship God, to enjoy the preaching and teaching of the word, and then to apply it into our lives. Let us close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We ask you, Lord God, to seal these words upon our heart, that we will be men and women of you, Lord God, who speak the truth, who endeavor to continually dwell in the truth and to put away from our lives any way of lies and deceit. Have your way with each one of us. Let your Spirit, O God, seal these words upon us, and may you be glorified within us as we begin to practice these things into our lives to bring honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, until next week, remember, be blessed, everyone. Walk holy as God is holy. Fear God. Be obsessed and passionate for God. And apply these truths into your lives. And watch how God will manifest himself in your life to a greater degree than you have ever known. God bless you all.